Hello, you're all very welcome to this week's episode of You Must Be Joking with me, Eric Lawler, and...
me, Will Arwee.
And we are delighted to have this week our guest. He's the most delicious man on the internet, and we all follow him. It is none other than Garen Noone. Garen Noone, thank you very much for joining
us. Garen Noone in the house.
Thank you for having me, appreciate it. Thanks for being here, lads.
You are delicious, Garen, and we're so happy to have you. We've been chasing you for a long time.
Garen Noone in the afternoon.
Yeah, that could be a radio show for you, Garen,
that
at some
be my
stage.
My new tagline.
Yeah, you are a busy, busy man. You were even saying to me today you were in town because you were doing this, that, and the other. You've even got your own podcast, Garen.
I have my own podcast.
What's it called? Tell us.
It's called Listen, I'm Delicious.
Oh, I like that.
There we go, very on brand. Yeah.
Yes.
And basically, if you can guess what we do, we eat.
Really?
Yeah, so I bring people on and I ask them what their favourite food is. Ask them to bring their favourite food and then we have it together. Listen,
we
if you bring enough food, I'll have anyone on.
We're all over that.
It's just an excuse to eat at work. Like, it's not technically a meal. It's like, no, that wasn't dinner. That's work.
Yeah, I'd have to have me dinner later.
Like a grub crawl.
Wow, we're missing the trick, aren't we?
No, we're not. I think it was a niche in the market and Garen got it.
There was a gap in the market and I filled it, yeah.
Just to say, Will, his name is Garen.
Garen.
Yeah, he's been trying to spice Garen. It up for the last 20 minutes.
Garen sounds more posh, doesn't it?
It does.
It sounds more European. It sounds more French flamboyant.
Garen.
Garen. Garen.
Like a Garen jumper.
Garen.
That'd be a good thing as well.
It's like it's a breed of horse. It's a small Scottish pony, an undersized beast.
A Garen?
Yeah. A little Garen pony, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah,
because I know there's a couple of different ponies. So you've got a Falabella. No, we're talking about small horses. Horace. So you have a Falabella, which is a small horse, which is smaller than
Is that not the slums of Brazil? That's a Favela, sorry.
He plays for Real Madrid. Falabella.
Sorry.
He's always on the wing. So you have a Falabella, which is the small miniature kind of horse. Then you have a Shetland pony. Then you have a Garen.
You have a Garen, yeah.
Garen pony. And then there's a Moyen pony, which is a bit bigger than a Shetland pony.
A Moyen pony?
Yeah.
So he just mimes as opposed to a horse?
No, he goes down the mines.
Sounds like Morse.
No, he Moyen as an M-O-N-E.
Oh, mine?
Yeah.
Okay, right,
yeah.
Okay. Well, ladies and gentlemen, our podcast is nothing if it's not educational.
There you go, now you know all the types of pony.
Talking a lot of pony here today.
Garen, before we touch on your absolute unbridled success online...
I like that.
Do you like that?
The horse is rivaled.
God, that was an unintended.
Saddle up for this, people.
this could, I thought you did it on purpose.
This could gallop off in any direction.
Oh my God, I'm harsh. Hey, sorry. Stop the crap. Oh my God, we're supposed to be good comedians. This is bullshit.
It's harsh.
Oh, right then. Before you became this megastar, obviously your first love and interest was music, right?
Yeah.
And, Garen, I saw something recently on TikTok. Would you like to clear up that allegation? No, sorry.
It's funny you say that, because the thing started going around recently of every video that I put up underneath it. You know how there's like a search on TikTok, a suggested search?
Oh, yeah.
The suggested search was the truth about Garen Noone. And I keep fucking clicking on it, trying to find out what the truth about me is.
Yeah.
But it's just a load of my videos. So if anybody knows what that is, let me know. It was on every video for ages, so some people must be thinking, oh, he's perfect. There must be something going on.
I
was expecting to click into it and see fucking Garen.
Modelling for Calvin Klein.
Yeah, me sniffing me on underwear in the house.
He's actually from Dorky.
He doesn't even
have long hair.
Yeah.
But it was just singing I saw, Garen, right? And I saw you singing, I think it was a Pearl Jam cover.
With
the band.
Yeah.
Yeah, Blue Moose.
Unbelievable, Will.
You'd have to tell me. Follow him.
I was taken aback, Garen. I was taken aback. I think you're brilliant here. I love your videos. I follow them religiously. But when I seen that, I was like, holy shit. Like, incredible. Like, if you don't make it as an internet star, and let's face it, you've still a long way to go. But is music still something you would like to follow? Like, performing live gigs, doing bigger gigs?
Yeah, I actually do quite a bit of music. So I used to teach for a university before. I used to teach music production. And I used to do pub gigs and stuff. And music's still a big part of my show. So my show now is basically 50% comedy, 50% music, because I didn't have enough jokes to do, so I was just doing songs and then sort of expanded them out. But yeah, it still makes me a few quid.
I'm happy out.
You see, there was no intention with the videos. So the way they started was I reviewed a bowl of cereal just on me stories, and people were like, oh, you should throw these up on TikTok. So I was firing up these like 15 minute videos on TikToks of me eating an entire bowl of cereal. That's where it started. So yeah, it's a random occurrence.
Do you have a breakfast cereal background? No, sorry, do you have a musical background?
Breakfast cereal background?
Do you have a frosty
background?
Where does the music stuff come from? Does anyone in the family play an instrument, or is anyone singing, or?
Yeah, my dad used to be, he used to sing like a lot of Elvis songs and stuff. He was in bands and stuff. That's actually where my name comes from. So Elvis had a twin brother that died at birth, and his name was Jesse Garon Presley. So that's where Garen comes
what
from.
What a change. There you go. There's an exclusive for you, right?
It's
there.
Not. I've said it before.
It's an exclusive on this
but
podcast.
But if this is your first time hearing it, then you heard it here.
For starters, I didn't even know you had a dead twin brother.
There you go. Wow. Yeah, you only know about him because of me. So
what a day.
When he found out about it, he was all shook up.
Oh, my God.
And he weren't sure who did it, so he had suspicious minds.
Stop it. Let's stop it right there. Garen, your voice is incredible, right?
And,
like,
thank you
very it's
much.
Genuinely incredible. Like, I was blown away. I was going to the point where I was going, is this dubbed or something? Is this AI or something?
Yeah, no, it's weird. People find it random that I'm able to sing and it doesn't sound completely shy. But I think it's just the difference between my speaking voice.
Maybe.
I've got the most unpleasant speaking voice on the planet, especially when I'm doing the videos, because I'm shouting outside. So it's like, they're fucking making Celebration smaller.
Yeah,
you're cunts.
I'd beg to differ there, Garen. I think your voice is perfect for audio. Well, it's velvet, dulcet tones. It's beautiful.
I think for TikTok, like, it pays to have a really weird, annoying, loud voice. Now, if you want to get more views on TikTok, here's the trick. Shout at the start of the video. It's actually that simple. My videos get twice the amount of views if I shout at the start.
Okay.
I promise
that's
you that.
Do you know, that's an experiment I am going to do. I'm going to do two videos, Garen, right? Both the same text, mm-hmm. but one will be shouting and the other one will be less shouting, and one will see which one has the most.
Yeah. Just look absolutely irate at the start of the video. I go, I've fucking gigs to do! And you'll fucking come to them! You get a million views on that, mate. You'll be sold out.
You're the tree arena that afternoon.
Yeah.
It's interesting that you say that you started off with reviewing, what was it, breakfast cereal at the start? The first one was,
yeah, what was so the cereal?
It was a Cocoa, it was a limited edition Cocoa Pop that was out. It was a strawberry cream or something.
So that's wrong.
This is what I thought. So I saw it in Deeds and I had a bit of disposable income. So I said, I'll pick that up now. And I don't want anybody to waste money. So I just said, I'll fucking just throw up or tell people what I think of it. So I did. And then people were like, oh, I love the review. So then I didn't want to annoy people on my Instagram. So I made a TikTok account, but I didn't understand how TikTok worked. Yeah. So I was me eating the full bowl of cereal. Like, they weren't like snappy, funny videos. It would be like, I'd be a spoon one now, it's a bit dry. We're going to spoon two, or starting to take the milk a bit now. It was literally like they were shit, man. Right. Like, they were really bad. And then I chopped them up into like minute long segments and I put them on TikTok.
Was that during COVID when that all started for you, Garen?
No, it was after COVID. It was
after, right? Okay.
I started in at the end of 2022.
Right.
I started making videos.
Okay.
And then I made a video where I ranked all the ice creams in the shop.
Yes.
And that was the first video I think that did well for me. I got like a couple of 100,000 views.
Because the reason I was asking, because do you remember the videos I used to do every day during COVID?
Yeah.
And I used to call it Breakfast with Eric during the global pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know, a little bit of alliteration?
Wow,
there, you're like,
good,
you know,
good at this.
And basically the idea behind it was, look, it's the pandemic, we're not going anywhere, you can eat what you fucking want, you can drink what you want. So I'd be going, today's breakfast we'd have, and I'd have like a 6-pack of Mars bars,
a bottle of whiskey,
then a bottle of whiskey at the end, because my son worked in an off licence and he worked for Jameson Distillery. So our gaff was like a big off licence full of all the different spirits. So every morning, like, people used to message me going, did you rob an off license or something? What's the story? Like, to be gin,
all
to be
from
vodka,
alcoholics.
And don't forget, you can wash all that down with a bottle of Red Breast whiskey, and people loved them. And I was going, I'm thinking back now, going, I should have maybe put them videos up on TikTok just to see if there was any traction on it.
They'd have never made it,
wouldn't
they? No, because you weren't roaring.
Yeah, you need to shout at the start. And also, don't be fucking saying the name of the brands unless they give you a few quid.
Whoa, he's dead right there. Yeah, sorry,
no free clout, man.
You're talking about
there's a bro,
Garen. You're talking about cereal, right? I'm in a cereal Bermuda Triangle at the moment with Sugar Puffs. What's happened?
You're in a sugar. Oh, I can't find them.
No,
I think they were discontinued, man.
That's wrong.
The sugar, yeah, is it? Because they're shite.
Garrett, they're not good. They're not.
Sugar puffs aren't great.
I love sugar puffs. I have to say, Garrett. Maybe
there must be sort of a Gen X kind of thing.
What you go to breakfast cereal?
Oh fuck, that's a complicated question now because like. It's not as simple as you're making it out to be.
Would you mix them?
Yeah, no, but like sometimes I like to get the little ones, you know, yeah, the so little lads, maybe do three of them.
Yeah, yeah.
Sort of well, crazy yeah. thing. Yeah, yeah.
Going around the house off your head.
Honey Nut Cheerios and Frosted Treddies and Cookie Crisp. What are they like together? Oh, yeah. It just tastes like fucking sugar. Lovely. Perfect. I'll break this up into two questions because I can't have you oversimplifying the cereal issue. So, if you ask me, Garen, you have to eat one cereal every day for the rest of your life. Probably cornflakes. It's a versatile cereal or Weetabix. You can do anything with a Weetabix.
And I just got good news for you there, Garen. So, if you ever wind up in Mountjoy, day or two of the cereals you get every morning.
Fabulous. Well, that's.
So, you've got a choice.
That's alleviated one of my major worries about prison.
These are the three. And the great thing is, you'll get sex with them cereals as well. Right? So.
That's the other one.
There's three cereals in prison.
Okay.
You've got number one is your cornflakes, which is for a prisoner, is a 10 o'clock snack at night. You can have as well. You've got Weetabix, and your last one, if you want to be a little bit exotic and a bit of a prick, Alpen.
Alpen, right. Alpen's very exotic.
Yeah. But not from South, so
bit, price, bit pricey to be given to criminals.
Yeah.
Fucking seven euro a go.
I know, yeah. And Mountjoy has its own bakery.
Is that where that tax money is?
Fucking,
it's a disgrace.
Mountjoy has its own bakery.
Fuck, right.
Yeah, beautiful bakery.
And here I am playing fucking Universal Social Charge. That fucking
where the
shite.
Fuck have we been going wrong?
And they're living the fucking life of royally eating.
I can't Alpen. Fucking afford Alpen.
So cornflakes every day you do.
If it was.
And would you go for hot milk in the winter?
Oh fuck yeah, man. Yeah. Do you know what I do? I this will show you how well I'm doing on TikTok. So I have a coffee machine now, or I just recently got a coffee machine. Just getting into them, I'm new, so don't ask me what my favourite one is. But you can steam the milk on the lad.
Oh, yeah.
Man, I put a
You're losing the run of yourself, Gary.
Put a bit of fucking steam milk in the cornflakes. Gives it a little bit of froth on the top. It's nice. So that's what I do every day. But if you were like, you know, like what's the best treat cereal, it'd be either Honey Nut Cheerios, Crunchy Nut, or Golden Nuggets.
I'm a Crunchy Nut cornflakes man now, in fairness to myself. I love the Crunchy Nut cornflakes.
Yeah, and it's because I have this sugar puff need that I can't be satisfied
sugar
anymore.
Sugar puffs are manky, man.
How can you like sweet cereals like those three you just mentioned and not like sugar puffs?
Because the taste better and the texture is
the consistency
better.
Is it?
They're like fucking cheese curds, them fucking nuts. they're pure fucking schlick on the teeth.
It's a Gen X thing, it really is. It's a Gen X thing.
When you bite into them, it's like you're running your fingers over a chalkboard.
Ah, right.
Yeah.
My go-to, thanks for asking that, would be, I'd be porridge.
Porridge is good.
Have to be. And here's the thing about it.
Myself
and my fiance recently, over the last year, got rid of the microwave. The microwave has gone out of the kitchen. It's the walk of the devil.
I've known it for years.
It's made by satanic companies and that, so we got rid of it.
Okay.
And there's just shit going on with it. And I find now I just get the milk
going on with
and I have a little skinny frying pan which is you barely fit two little eggs in it. And I heat the milk up in that and I pour the oats in with it and I just store it. And it's unbelievable.
I believe you, yeah. Good porridge is.
Yeah, I'm telling you. And I've got a mate of mine in the job that lives in Lithuania and his father is a beekeeper and he brings me home a big pot of honey twice a year and it's unbelievable.
I'm going to be honest with you. About a third of the way through that story, I lost all interest in your porridge
right.
And became fully invested in why you think Satan is in the microwave.
Yeah. I don't know. I just can't understand how something can be heated up that quick. There has to be something wrong.
It's radiation, man.
It's waves. It's,
yeah.
It's, you know, energy. It's,
yeah.
It's
I just,
no, microwaves
you know
were initially developed as a weapon. So they had
I was seeing a fella getting a smack of one night in the face.
Yeah, so do you know how it actually works? What it does is it excites the water particles in your body, so it makes them go, like, basically just go really fast. So it's basically creating heat internally because it's doing that. So what, what their plan was in World War, I think it was World War II, is they had these big fucking guns and they were just going to aim them at the enemy and just cook them alive. But then obviously people said, do you know what, that's probably a bit fair, isn't it?
So we use it now
to heat up cornflakes.
I found a better use. Yeah.
If you'd done that, the war would have been over in 2 minutes.
Yeah. Should we put this on defrost? What are we doing this for?
You just hear a ding and everyone putting down their guns and just walking off.
Is it supposed to take the sleeve off or do I leave the sleeve on for 4 minutes and then take it off?
I suppose what I'm trying to say really is that there is life after a microwave. You can live without one.
Yeah.
That's profound.
Do you have an air fryer?
Yeah, we do have an air fryer.
Okay, well, sure you're right.
That wasn't to be the walk of the devil now.
Yeah, no, they're
a different factory.
That's Jesus induced air fryer. Karen, when you're doing gigs now, live shows, your fans that come to see it, are they expecting, like, do they know what they're getting? Do they know what they're getting?
I don't think so. Right, I don't think they know what they're coming to.
I remember, the Paddy Power Comedy Festival in the Ivy Garden, yeah. Like you were on, and we were on as well. But you were on in a different tent to us. Me and Willie were outside with our families and all, just, you know, shouting their brazen and being big guns. And you were on, and we could hear you finishing up saying, thank you very much. And the whole tent emptied. And we thought, oh, geez, it must be over. But some other poor comedian went on after him. And it was like they had just all come to see you. And I was like, oh my God, remind me if I'm ever doing a festival, I'm not going on after Gary Newman ever.
I'm not going on the lineup with Gary.
I think I attract a slightly weird crowd, maybe. So okay. I don't think I get the traditional comedy crowds. I know at EP I was doing the comedy tent and there were a lot of people there, like they were all kind of out.
It was all the people
who come to see the TikTok fella. But then after I went off, they did clear off. But I think the proper comedy fans then came in. I think I got all the fucking, like, you know, Gen Z fucking, like,
the day trippers. Yeah. I know what you mean.
Not that I don't respect my audience. I couldn't respect them more.
Yeah.
But I think I just get a different crowd because I'm not really a comedian. I'm a content creator
who's very funny.
Who's funny-ish. And then I think people almost come to go, what the fuck is he going to do for 25 minutes?
And it's mad because I would beg to differ, because I would define comedy as that somebody that says something or does something and makes people laugh. And that's exactly what you do on. Whether you're on TikTok, whether you're on a stage, whether you're in a studio, or whether you're sitting at home.
Yeah.
If you can make people laugh, it's comedy, like.
Yeah, well, listen, I'll take that. I think it's just a different... it's a different skill. Like, I think a lot of people who try and come from the internet and try and go and do stand-up comedy, I think sometimes they flop.
Yeah.
Because it's a totally different craft.
Yeah.
Like, making a video that works is totally different to trying to do a live...
In the moment.
Bit. Yeah.
So the question is, obviously coming from a singing background and playing in bars and pubs, are we right to say?
Yeah.
How do you find a stand-up to that?
I found it a lot harder, especially at the start. Like, when I started doing it, I was really nervous trying to be funny, because I would always be funny when I was doing my music gigs, but there was never a pressure for me to do it. Yeah. It just may happen in the moment. Whereas I found the transition into, right, I'm going to stand in front of people and the idea here is I'm going to be funny.
Yeah, yeah.
And if you don't laugh, I've done it wrong.
Yeah.
I can't just go, well, that didn't land, here's Wonderwall. which is
what we do.
Yeah. So I found it very difficult at first. Now, I've had mostly good responses, but it's all been my audience. Yeah. So... one of the things I'm curious to try and do next year is to go and do Fringe and be on front of audiences who don't know who I am.
Right.
Because a lot of my the stuff I do at the moment is very self-referential. Yeah. So it's like, yeah.
So it's like in-jokes that your fans will know
kind
about.
Of a lot of that. Yeah. Not all of it, but a lot of it is. So yeah. I think I need to go and do something where people don't know me to kind of develop this.
So
is that just you wanting to get outside your comfort zone to an extent and challenge yourself a little bit?
Yeah, I just think I've had it too easy, probably. I know from doing music, like, it's the hard gigs that really
100%.
That really sharpen you. And I feel like my gigs have been, people are very accommodating. Because they've come to see me, I meet them afterwards, we have a bit of crack. I think I kind of want to go up in front of people who are like, right, who's this? Is this cunt
funny? Yeah, yeah. Like a cold
and
call.
And then I won't be, and I'll be like, fuck, man, you need to fucking...
Can't wait to go back to my own audience
again.
Let's
just cry on the couch for 3 days, overeat, and then I'm going to fucking rise like a phoenix.
So will you go and do the Free Fringe, or will you hire a venue, or what is the plan of attack for Edinburgh?
I was going to go and try and do... Basically, the idea was to try and do it in front of as many people who don't know me as possible, because I thought it would be a good opportunity to do that. So I'm probably not going to announce too much about it.
Right,
I'm probably just going to sort of... kind of the idea I had.
And like, we both done Edinburgh, myself and Willie, and it's a rite of passage for every comedian, I think. You know, I think every comedian should do it at least once, just to feel that...
I haven't done the full run, but you've done gigs there, and I got frightened a good few years ago. I came out to the Dublin airport, and there was two comics that I know that I'd have thought were fairly decent comics, and they were like two broken men. And I just went, that actually clarifies for me that I don't want to do Edinburgh.
Yeah,
I did it once, and it was a marathon. Like, and that's such a cliche, but it is. It's genuinely a marathon. You're doing 1 hour show every night for like 28 nights, 27, whatever the fuck it is, and then you're doing other compilation shows as well.
Yeah,
just to get people into your show. And Willie came over to my show, and Willie was the best thing to happen to my show, because I was doing the Free Fringe, and when you're selling your own show, you have to flyer your own show. And I always found that cringe, and I was like, oh, please come to my show. And there's hundreds of shows every day. And Willie was there with me for the weekend. He goes, Roy, give me them flyers. And he was like, hey, show's on there tonight in Opium. It was called Opium, do you remember?
Yeah.
Show's on there tonight at 7:30 in Opium, and it's free in, but it's a tenner to get out.
It's free in, and if you don't like it, you can get your money back.
Yeah. And they love that, and people are going, oh, that's very funny. Actually, I will come along. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then that night, it was like loads in. I was like, this is fucking great. But it really does test you, because, as you say, Edinburgh audiences, infamously, especially if you're not a known name, you could be walking out in front of a crowd of 7 or 8 people in a room that holds 70, you know, and it's like, holy fucking, you really have to work hard to make them laugh, to entertain them.
Yeah, see, I like the idea of that. Because I know, like, because I did years of gigs doing music, and I know how beneficial now that all that shit gig was to me. Like, it was extremely good for me, and I feel like I've had it too soft with the comedy gigs, because I'm coming from TikTok.
Yeah.
I feel like I haven't really had to suffer like that.
Right.
And I think it does you a really good service.
Yeah.
I think it makes you more like dynamic and able to deal with whatever comes your way. Whereas I feel like now, if I showed up to a room full of people and they didn't know me, I'd be like, hello, follow me, I'm delicious.
You calling the guards?
What's wrong?
Are we all eating Easter eggs this year? They're gone. They're very small, are they? Used to be 35 grams. Now they're 32.5 grams.
Get on with it.
Give me back my 2.5 grams, you cunts.
Oh, stop. But it's true, though. I came back, and you feel bulletproof.
Yeah.
You feel bulletproof. Any gig after that was a piece of piss. First gig I did after was Electric Picnic, the comedy tent, and... But when I was in Edinburgh, and it's something that me and Willie have done when we've gone abroad to do gigs, we have to slow down. And now you've got this rich, dulcet tone voice that people will understand. But when me and Will are at our full tilt, the Brits don't understand us at all. They think we're speaking a foreign language. So we had to slow down and enunciate our words. And that fucks up your own timing, your own rhythm.
Yeah.
But we persevered with it. And I remember coming back, and before show was the Electric Picnic comedy tent, and I walked on stage, but it was still in Edinburgh mode. So we're still going, hello, my name is Eric Lawler. I can't remember Conor Regan side stage going, Eric, I thought you'd had a fucking stroke. I don't know what was going on. And then you're in, a voice goes in, Eric, you're home, it's grand. Like, hey, diddly, you get up here with that.
People sitting in the crowd going, them mushrooms are kicking in.
But come here. It's for that reason alone, Garen, I'd encourage anyone to do Edinburgh. It makes you a better comedian.
Yeah.
You know, it helps you up your game. Right then, I am going to move to a section now, will I? With our Garen here now, because he's a well-known foodie comic on the internet and TikTok. He's amazing at reviewing food in his irreverent kind of way. So, Cooking with Garen Noon, this section is called, all right?
Okay.
We want this, right, Garen, right, we touched on it with breakfast, but we want to ask you about another part of breakfast, and that is, what is your perfect fry and what does it consist of?
Jeez, you're just dropping that one. I hope this isn't quickfire. Right, so perfect fry, you need 2 eggs, You need...
How do you like them eggs, Karen?
Oh, wait till you hear this, right? One soft, one hard. I'll tell you what. Because one of them is for dipping your sausages and shite into, and one of them is to go on a little bit of bread with a bit of bacon and a bit of red sauce. Try it. So that, and then we have, depending on the sausage, what sort of sausage size we're going with, I'd like two big thick sausages, but if not, I'll have three skinny sausages, depending on how they taste. Two bits of bacon. I want the fat absolutely incinerated. I can't even be aware that it was fat at one point. Has to be pure crisp. I prefer mushrooms. I wouldn't have a bean. I think that's a very Protestant thing to do, but that's all I'm saying. I'm not saying you are a Protestant if you have beans. I'm just saying it's not how I was reared. I was reared with the toaster out on the counter and the fucking beans in the cupboard until it was time for a bit of toast. About 18 slices of toast, a hash brown, and you know, like a cheeky slice of French toast on the side if I can have it. Just if I'm being mental, if I'm going mental, like, do you know, that'll be me. Did I miss anything?
Would you throw a tomato on?
Oh, fucking black and white pudding. Two black,
whoa,
one white. Two black, one white.
What's your favourite, black or white?
Black, man. Yeah. Two black puddings, one white pudding.
Right, nice.
Yeah.
What were you saying there?
I was asking, would you throw a tomato on?
I fucking hate a cooked tomato.
Do you?
They're slimy, rotten.
My dad used to have a way of doing them, right, and he used to do them at the end of the fry, right, so obviously he'd clean out all the grease of the pan, he'd put them in with a drop of water and half a Noxo cube in with them. And he put them on the plate and you'd fucking mop up the bread like a squeegee, like a window cleaner, cleaning the fucking windows, and it was unbelievable.
Right. Tomato, oxtail.
Tomatoes fried, drop of water, and half an oxo into it, and it's like a gravy coming on with the fry. It was unbelievable.
I'm intrigued by that.
Yeah, it's really, really
good. That's like a beef tomato.
You see what I did? Okay. And you're like me, I'd OD on the toast as well. I'd be toast.
Oh, you love your toast.
As much as I can get, and fucking varieties. Are like,
oh, yeah, 10 slices of toast one morning in Mead Street.
Easily done, man.
Karen's going, you're saying that like it was a challenge.
Yeah. I thought you were saying you were trying to cut down.
And that was on the four sandwich.
Yeah.
That was a multi-decker breakfast. Karen, but if you had to remove all of those set, one item from that said list of items, what would it be?
This is going to shock people. probably rashers.
Wow.
Okay. Yeah.
Even if they have that crispy side?
Oh, listen, I love it, but it's the part that I can live. I couldn't live without a sausage. I couldn't live without hash brown, to be honest. Or a bit of box steak. I couldn't live without, not a whole bit, it'd have to be the rashers, which is shocking because most people, that'd be the last thing to go.
Yeah, absolutely. It's usually one of the top things that people.
What type of rashers? Streaky or?
Proper rashers, but like high quality, fucking not too much fat on them. You know the ones, you know, like you can't get the ones out of Tesco or whatever because they go all watering. Yeah. It's like you're boiling the fucking thing. You need one that just fucking, the minute you put it on the pan, it dries out to fuck.
You want the Backstreet Butcher that when you walk in, you go like that. Rashers. And he goes out the back and cuts them for you.
Yeah.
Three times bigger than the usual rasher.
You hear the
do you know what I mean?
Right?
Yeah. It's like he's out the back cutting them with a fucking hatchet.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
He is. Then Backstreet Butcher. So we're still in this segment of cooking with Garen Noon. Garen, we want you to build now your perfect Christmas dinner. Okay? So if you're doing dinner, what's on it? What's a must have for you?
Right, okay. The Protestant comment that I made last time, you're going to realise that I wasn't being like any sort of a phobic, right? Because I'm about to do the most Protestant thing with this Christmas dinner you could possibly do.
Brace yourselves, everybody.
There absolutely has to be a Yorkshire pudding involved. Absolutely fucking has to be. They're the best. I fucking love just putting a little bit of everything into that cunt and little yolk, putting a little bit of gravy into the fucker and eating it like a little fucking baked thing I'm after making. Yorkshire pudding. Honestly, give me as much meat as we can come up with. I'll have ham, I'll have duck, I'll have turkey. To be honest with you.
You have the whole farm.
I'll have fucking everything, man. Little fucking sausages with the fucking
Oh, they're picking the blanket.
Picking the blanket, yeah. I love them. Stuffing, preferably multiple varieties. What I like is I like a stuffing you can trust and a bit of an exotic stuffing. I like it.
Which stuffing have you lost your trust in?
Sage and onions, fine. So that's like your base level. I have stuffing I know I'm going to like. And then something fucking mad with an apricot or something. Do you know them kind of ones?
Yeah, off the wall.
Or a fancy con.
With a mental disorder.
Something from M&S.
Yeah.
Wild. And then... what else would I have? Mashed potatoes. A lot of people think that you just have roast potatoes for Christmas dinner. That's unbelievably fucked up. So, yeah. You want to have your mashed potatoes, couple of roasties as well. Like, if there's a bit of potato gratin going, yeah, I'll have it as well. Like, well, honestly, whatever you can do with a potato, I'll have it. Mashed carrots and parsnips. Some people fucking roast them with honey. I haven't got fucking time for that. I wasn't reared on that kind of stuff. Put them in the yolk. Mash them to fuck, load of butter in, a bit of onion salt.
Would you fuck a couple of what do you call them little potato things with the things around them?
Croquettes.
Yeah, would you fuck a couple of them on the guest list?
If there's a croquette on the, like, if it's available, it's going on the plate. Like, like, to be honest with you, like, you know, you could put something, like, to be honest, you could put cornflakes and I'd be, I'd have a fucking experiment with them on the side of the plate. Croquettes, yeah. Then Brussels sprouts, a lot of people don't like them, but they've got to be on there.
No.
Yeah, I think just lucky you have to grow up, man, at some point, and they are nice. They're good for you. Bit of butter on them. Yeah, do you have a bit of butter on them?
Don't eat them.
I love them, Garen, and it's something I only eat at Christmas sprouts because they're done in the ham water, so there's a bit of taste of ham off them.
Yes.
So it's like you're eating pig's testicles. It's really nice, really
nice.
Yeah,
we do the same thing where you put it in and you just kind of shuffle them about and that. Yeah, they're fucking class.
Beautiful. And just dissolving them out.
What about steep peas? Would you go mushy peas?
Mushy peas are like, they're not essential, but again, if they're there, I'll throw them on. And then this will be a contentious one for me, it has to be pepper sauce. I know that's unbelievably untraditional.
You're off the wall, guy.
I'm mental.
So as opposed to gravy,
get this man a straight jacket.
Yeah. Hang on, pepper sauce on your Christmas dinner?
I just fucking love pepper sauce. And you know what, if somebody had to die for my sins, he wanted me to have whatever fucking sauce I want on my dinner. That's all I know. And pepper sauce is the best sauce, and I always have it on Christmas Day. And I get ridiculed for it because I put me shit up on Instagram. They're like, you can't have pepper sauce. I'm having it. Here I am. I'm probably more successful than you when I'm doing it.
How many followers have you got?
Yeah, how many followers do you have? Nile, which are fucking gravy.
And would you have any radishes or pickles or cranberry sauce or any of that?
None of that. None of that culture chite. I might have we had cranberry sauce 1 year, but it didn't take. We didn't have it again. Everybody enjoyed it.
But did you let it linger?
Oh,
what's that now?
The cranberries.
Oh, that was good, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
How much are the tickets?
Oh my God, you left him like a zombie there.
Some dinner, Garen.
Yeah, it is, man. It's about that size.
You need a harness on
the ground.
A desperate Dan meal. Garen, what's one item on a Christmas dinner that you see people having but you believe is not part of the Christmas dinner?
I'm as you've heard, I'm fairly adventurous with Christmas dinner. I would say the one item, if I'm going to kind of flip the question on you, when people just have roast potatoes and they don't have mash. A lot of people think mash does not go in a Christmas dinner.
Mm-hmm.
That's sacrilege.
I believe you should have mash and roast potatoes.
You should have both.
Yeah. Christmas dinner.
Definitely.
Yeah. I'm well with
you. I do the mash every Christmas.
Yeah. You do the master mash.
I actually bought a new masher over in Seville. I brought a masher home in the suitcase.
A Seville masher?
Yeah, honest to God.
What caught your eye about it?
I'll tell you exactly what caught me eye about it. So I am known to do the mashed potatoes in the house. I do serious mashed potatoes, right? Knob of butter, drop of milk, and I have this masher, right? So if you can imagine, there's not like a handle, a stray handle like that. It's like a fucking rever. It's like a handle off a motorbike, you know, like a round thing with two sides on it like that, and the masher's in the middle. Like, you can just fucking go. It's like a fist and blue movie.
That's like therapeutic then. You're like,
fucking anger therapy. It's like,
and I'm like, that's gorgeous.
It's an amazing masher. It's unbelievable. I'll send you a photograph.
Please do. Yeah. Can we actually put it onto the podcast page when we're...
I've got it in a Chinese... Yeah,
can you get another fucking Amazon link or something?
Yeah, I got it in like a Chinese hardware in Seville.
Right. Did you get the name of the shop? Because we're going to get them to sponsor the podcast. Chinese. You must be joking with the Chinese hardware stuff.
If I was to think of it, my head would be mashed.
Oh.
No, but it's the best masher I've ever had in my life.
And have you tried it?
Yeah, I've used it. I used it the other day.
Yeah.
Yeah, unbelievable. Unbelievable. 100% noticed the difference.
Ah, nice. I like that. Yeah. Must try a bit of mash up in your gap sometime.
Yeah, not a bother.
I have a bit of an experiment for you to do with the mash. Now, I'm sure you've it down to a fine craft.
I'll take it on
but
board.
But if you're up for experiment, do you ever do a bit of onion salt or not?
No.
Onion salt in the mash. Try it out.
I'm intrigued.
It gives it a sort of a rich onion texture, but just a little bit. It's a hint. It gives it that little bit of, hang on now, you've done something special there, have you? Do you know that kind of thing? You can tell all the tastes except one taste.
Yeah.
That's the taste you're like,
I'm going to give that a go.
Give it a go.
100%. Yeah.
Do you use real salt now? The flakes? Do you use that?
Well, I have a salt grinder, but sometimes we have just ordinary salt, M&S salt.
Yeah. I'm just touting it. The last year or so, I'm just using the flakes.
I think realistically, the reality is that if you're eating good fucking grub, you don't need salt. I think salt, the only thing that's good for salt...
this is really good for you.
But I think the only thing that salt should really go on is chips. Salt and vinegar onto some chips.
Yeah, but salt is really good for you. It's really good for you. Proper salt is really good for you, not processed salt.
Oh, like that pink kind of salt.
Himalayan salt, yeah, but it's also, you know, the snow, they're like flakes of salt. Like it's, I don't know what they're called. Is there salt a special flakes name for it? I don't know, Garan.
Do you mean rock salt or sea salt?
Rock salt, sea salt, sea salt. That's the one.
Someone that's like in a grinder, like a pepper grinder.
Yeah, but there's also one you can get in the packet and you just put, I mine them in a little bowl and I pick up a few little flakes and just sprinkle it over my food. And the health benefits to that are unbelievable. You know how many people say too much salt is bad for you? Too much processed salt is bad for you. But too much of this stuff, wow, unbelievable for your health.
Is it? Why are you making sandwiches out of that stuff?
Yeah, it was big. Salt sandwiches. Garan, your death row meal. It could be several courses. What are you having?
What are you starting with?
Okay.
What are you in for?
I'm back.
More than the dinner.
What would I be in for? Let's say I'm on death row, so it's murder.
For being too delicious.
So my death row meal, no starters. I fucking hate starters. Starters are a waste of time.
That's controversial, guy.
They're a waste of time.
Why?
So I recently went fine dining, and I don't mind the little, where they do the little things and you're kind of eating all day. Yeah. I like that. But like a starter, like if I go in, it's like I have to eat a fucking prawn cocktail and I'm sitting there waiting for a steak. Like some fucking fanny, like sitting there eating a fucking prawn cocktail. Like, what are we doing? Like, are we here to eat? What the fuck is this about?
Get the meat.
We're just sitting around chatting and pretending we're going to eat before we eat. Fuck that. Get me straight into the fucking business end of the dinner and make it fucking bigger. Or better yet, I'd have the prawn cocktail, bring it out and put it on the fucking side. You don't get to choose when I fucking eat. You fucking fuck. Oh yeah, fucking wait 20 minutes. Come over, do you want any drinks? I already know what I fucking want. Don't give me this drinks shite. You're only making your own life easier. Oh, I'll get them the drinks and I go to that fucker. Hang on. Come back here. Yes. I want a whole lot of ones. No fucking start. Fuck starters, right? Starters should be on the table. So, main course, starting with. And it would actually not be a traditional meal. It would be rotisserie chicken that you get, like what you get from the shop, the cooked chickens, stuffing in it. And then just a load of fresh rolls for lovely fresh French baguettes and fucking coleslaw and fucking potato salad and fucking couscous, the whole shebang, everything that's in that fridge section. Sun-dried tomatoes, I probably won't eat them, but fire them on there. The whole fucking lot. Whole lot, and I'm just fucking sitting there making rolls.
Are you... So, Garen, is the logic behind this that there'll be so much food... that you'll be there such a long time that you might forget about your death sentence.
But that's...
I was thinking the same on Monday.
He's trying to delay. Trying to delay the execution.
By the time the meal's over, you get a fucking pardon.
You go, I'll just fuck off home.
Biden will just go, let him out with me, young fleck. Let him out.
I'm still here to eat. You can't execute me. Still your last meal.
Like that to the guard with the wishbone.
Ah, that's... Jesus, I tell you what. That actually does sound delicious.
Would you have a dessert, Garen?
Oh, sure, I suppose I'll have to.
I'm going to guess what you'd eat.
Go for it.
Because you look like the same kind of bleeding. I'd say you'd go for a big dirty fucking trifle.
Oh yeah, man. All day and all fucking night. I want it from the box too. Yeah. I want the fucking cheap box fire trifle. And I want they buy one trifle, and then you know that fucking creamy shit that goes on the top, the dream topping.
Dream topping.
Six of them.
Yeah.
It's a normal trifle, but six of them fucking things on top. And I'll scoop away at that and bring me an owl. Okay, a bit for you. I like that Luster's tinned fruit as well. You know,
Throw
a bit of that.
I'd eat it with a serving spoon. You know the spoons that you actually put it into the bowl with?
Yeah.
I'd eat it with that.
Fuck yeah.
In my underpants.
In your underpants. Yeah. Loving life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'd definitely big drizzle it. Trifle all down the middle of you.
That'd be fucking lovely. I love just a fucking dirty poor cunt's trifle. I'd say you can't beat it. I fucking love it.
Oh. None of your airs and graces.
You can taste the fucking taste powder. The
taste the poverty of it.
You can taste the blood, sweat, tears of it.
Poverty sauce.
Yeah. This tastes like disadvantage. Yeah.
Not fucking taste like it.
And the final question in the Cooking with Garen Noon section is Desert Island Dish. Similar to Desert Island Disc, Garen, if you could only eat one thing while stuck in a desert island, what would it be and why?
Oh, fuck.
One thing.
Do I have to take into account any sort of nutritional element here?
Not at all. It's what you want.
So this is going to sustain me perfectly. It'd probably be fucking cereal, man.
Right.
I fucking love cereal. I just love...
Is it the flexibility of it?
No, I'm just a fat cunt. Like, I just... I love just fucking...
Would you be going with slimline or full fat?
You know, you're just fucking like, you just feel like a fucking failure. Had a shit day.
I still eat cornflakes.
Yeah, you just want to fucking sit there with some fucking.
I could totally identify with that.
With some fucking more oats. Some fucking granola that cost €8 and just fucking.
Yeah.
I'd eat 16 bowls of cereal no problem. I've eaten a whole packet of cereal. Cereal is like a good 80% of my obesity.
Right.
Oh fuck yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, cereal.
So you could bring Kellogg's to court, really.
100%. If I keel at some stage, Kellogg's has blood, more blood on their hands.
Just if
the Kellogg's tribunal.
If Kellogg's want to sponsor the podcast, we will delete this episode. we touched on it there, Garen, as well. Like, a big part of your content as well is talking to the Americans. Uh-huh. The Americans. And they love you. They've embraced you. I told you before we started, my sister lives in Long Beach, Emer. Well, I know her well. Oh, not that well. What are you trying to suggest?
Hey.
And she has been living over there for 20, 25 years. And she's two daughters, Lily and Ron, my nieces. They're beautiful, beautiful kids. And they are obsessed with you, Garen. And everyone in Long Beach, California is obsessed with you. She works for Mattel. You know Mattel?
Yeah.
So she's involved with the Barbie section and all that. Everyone she works with in Mattel is mad about you. Like,
And yet no doll.
No
plus size Ken. Big and tall Ken.
Plus size Ken.
Ken in a pair of suspenders.
No blow up Barbie.
So Emer, if you're listening, Garen is waiting for a doll to be made by Mattel. Tell the folks involved.
Mattel them now.
McKiss and Mattel. So what is it about Americans and food, right? What's the most common thing you argue about with them?
Oh, I got into a big argument with the Americans because bacon. So I was trying to explain rashers to them at some stage.
But you're using that term, rashers.
Rashers, yeah. And they were like, that's not bacon. I was like, yeah, it's fucking back bacon. It's the same thing. So they have belly bacon. They have that fatty sort of shite that they eat. And I was trying to explain to them and they were like, oh, that's not the same. It's not the fucking, it doesn't taste as good, or blah, blah, blah. So we had a big argument about that. Other than that, like, American food tastes, I'm assuming you've gone over a fair bit. Yeah. They have that fucking high fructose corn starch and everything, corn syrup and everything. And it tastes like fucking shit.
Oh, yeah.
So I've done some of their stuff. But, like, actual American food, I think, is pretty good. Reasonably speaking. Maybe not any of their produce that they get from America, but... Like, they fairly pump the cows with fucking steroids and all that, don't they?
They really do. I mean, like, and the portions over there are unbelievable. It was over there.
I think that's a myth. Man, we are the...
Do you really?
We are the fucking most degenerate cunts in this country. Have you seen the dinners mammies put on front of the young men of this country? That's Americans true. Aren't getting them. I see them on television with their fucking bit of corn. you know, they're a bit of corn and they're chop. My mother used to give me fucking 5 chops, 18 spuds, and I'd have the saucepan there put beside me, fucking scooping out of it.
Couldn't see it for the first 20 minutes of the dinner. Yeah. And then it comes down.
100%. Yeah. And we think just because it's not chips, we're like, oh, we wouldn't eat that big of a bag of chips. And us eating fucking 14 potatoes.
It's like Close Encounters of the Third Kind. Remember he made the mountain out of the potatoes?
Yeah.
That's Karen's sit behind that.
If you could eat any cuisine for the rest of your life from a different country instead of obviously what we get here, what would it be? Like Chinese, Italian?
Come here, that's the section here.
Oh, is it?
Yes.
Sorry.
Yes.
Oh, Jesus, look at me. Look at me.
Step on the section.
That's a section. What is Garen's go-to Chinese? He's a big fan of Chinese. What is Garen's go-to Chinese order?
So
no, what's your go? Because I have a favourite Chinese in Dublin.
Okay, I've been asked about 5 questions in that short space of time. Would you like me to answer all of them, or are we reworking them?
No, answer
your first question.
Yes.
It would either be Italian or Japanese food. Those are my 2 favourite types of food that are foreign. And to answer the second question, which is, I don't remember, because... What was that?
What's your favourite Chinese restaurant in Ireland?
In Ireland, it'd have to be the Lantern in Ballina, I'd say. The Lantern in Ballina. All of the Chinese's in Ballina are pretty good. We have our own delicacy in Ballina called dry, hot and spicy that you can't really get anywhere else. And it's like a chicken. And it's sort of like salt and chilli chicken, but it's totally different. You have to try it. If you're ever in Ballina, try dry, hot and spicy. It's the nicest thing ever. The nicest one I've had so far in Dublin, I'd say, is Ling Key.
Oh, yeah.
That's pretty good.
Sorry.
But I haven't tried many, so I probably haven't tried the cream of the crop yet.
No, you haven't been to Hoi Wan of Finglas, which is like...
Is that the place that the smashed windows people keep telling me about? There's some place...
No, where they're talking about a restaurant, not a takeaway.
Well, what are you talking about? Restaurants or takeaways?
Either. Well, like, I was
okay, so we're going into a fucking completely different bracket there. Right, okay.
Chinese food.
My best Chinese in the world, if I was to go anywhere for Chinese, it would have to be Good World on George Street.
Okay.
Have you been to it?
I haven't, no.
I'm going to bring you some knife.
What's your order?
What's my order in there? Oh, Jesus. Well, for start... Sorry, Garon. Starter, jump lids. No, I will have the dim sum, prawn dim sum.
Okay.
For start, it is fucking unbelievable with a bit of soy sauce on the top of it. And then I will go either crispy duck or I will go sweet and sour black bean. I mean, there's such a wide variety of stuff that I'd go on this place.
Yeah.
But the food in it is second to none.
Yeah.
It's an amazing Chinese.
I need to try it, yeah.
Yeah, definitely. Good world.
So, Garen, what is your go-to Chinese order?
So it depends. Like, so there's like 2 types. Like, if I'm going in to eat, it'd probably be more similar to that. If I'm getting a takeaway, it's usually like a fucking spice bag and chicken balls and curry sauce and rice and all the shit that you can just pile up on the plate. If I'm going in, I'm going to have like a sit-down dinner, it'd probably be like either like Cantonese or like chicken chow mein or... I'll kind of switch it up. The main thing I would get is it's probably always chicken chow mein most of the time. Hey. Yeah. I like a black bean as well though.
Some people always say in the comments when you're talking about Chinese food that it's not proper Chinese.
No, look, I know it isn't. Like,
and it's Irish Chinese. It's Irish Chinese food.
Yes.
And what are the staples of Irish Chinese food?
Oh, spice bags, chicken balls. Fucking man, do you ever get them munch boxes where it's just a fucking pizza box?
Yeah, it's like a cardiac carving.
Yeah, eat out of it like a trough.
Oh, it's unbelievable.
There's a place when I lived in Galway.
You're diving in, aren't you?
Yeah.
Holy
shrubbing chips on my nose. I'm fucking disgusting. We had a place called, I think it was called Lime Leaf in Galway, and they used to do one of these munch boxes that was absolutely packed, and they used to put fucking sausages in it. It's like a spice bag, rice, noodles, all this normal Chinese shrimp and 2 sausages
standing in the corner like that.
Remember those?
And it had all the Chinese spices and stuff on it. So I just imagined somebody was in there. I was like, how do we make this a bit more Irish?
Reminder where the cuisine's from.
2 fucking Denny's in on top of it.
You touched up earlier on as well, Garen. Look, we're coming to Christmas now, and you have obviously every video you do goes bleeding viral now at this stage. But the fact that the sweet boxes are getting smaller and smaller and smaller, and you're fucking 100% right, pal. Because me and Will are old enough to remember when a tin of roses was
brought
the size
in
of that bleeding table there, isn't it?
Brought in a wheelbarrow,
and now it's like, you know, it's like a cup of fucking like what are your honest feelings?
€4 for a tin of roses I seen the other day. €4. Do you know where it was going? I was on the way to Tullamore and I pulled into a garage, right? And it was like a fucking Aladdin's cave, but he had roses, Quality Street, and some other tin of stuff. Yeah, €4 each. I went, that's wrong on so many levels.
Man, that's not even that bad.
Because there's nothing in the merit.
I've seen tins of sweets for €7 going. Pay absolute fucking mobsters out there with their fucking local shop and their fucking notions trying to sell me a box of sweets for €8. I don't care if you have to keep the fucking lights on. That's not my problem. Like, don't sell sweets if you're going to charge that kind of a price. Stay in the fucking diesel industry or whatever you're getting overhead on. Yeah. But don't fucking take that kind of money off me. But I know, like, people were sending me pictures last night of, like, the old boxes of sweets, what they used to look like. They're from the 80s. They were 1.2 kg. A box of Quality Street you could get for 1.2 kg.
The glory
days. Most of them are a kilogram. 550 grams. Actually, that wouldn't get you fucking started.
That's just...
They have selection boxes now. Like, they used to give you full, like, bars, and even I remember this, and I'm only a youth. They used to give you full bars in the selection boxes. Now you get, like, a fucking crunchy that size, and it's pure skinny and everything.
A mini crunchy,
fuck off, fun, like, size me hole. What's fun about that?
Fucking more ungy than crunchy.
Garen's right, mobsters are stealing Christmas on us.
Yeah,
they and fucking all the delicacies. Are.
They really
I think Cadbury's have a lot to be have a lot to answer to.
If you want to sponsor our podcast, Cadbury's, we will delete this episode.
Yeah, so. Also delete it. Yeah,
Garen, you famously held a beautiful campaign to bring back Mars to life.
I did.
And you were at war with Mars.
Yeah.
How did that transpire? What happened and what was the final outcome?
So I actually applied for a job with Mars so I could get in on the inside. And then they kind of realised I was, not by their words,
taking
the piss. I was doing some fairly serious business. But then they came to me a while back and they asked me to do an ad for mini M&Ms. So these new mini M&Ms came out recently. And I said, I'll only do the ad. You don't have to pay me. I'll do the ad, no problem. And I will advertise for you every day until the day I fucking die if you just bring back the Mars to light. And they said, I'll have the team look into it. Never fucking heard from them. So I'll fucking harass them, man. Like, I swear to God, my whole goal now in life is to get enough followers that I can absolutely destroy that business if they don't bring back the Mars.
Garen's going to take on Mars and bring
I'll go down. With you.
Bring
to your knees. Definitely.
I will die on that hill.
They were so fucking good.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And like, how long have they gone now?
Fucking
years. Too long.
Years,
what else has gone, Garen, that you'd love to bring back?
Oh, fucking Jesus Christ. Like, being able to climb
anything,
three
it
flights of stairs. without having to bring a tent. fucking
well, tell you what we'll do, we'll ask him to rank his top 5 bars of chocolate available in Ireland.
Do you remember Echo bars?
Yeah. Oh yeah,
do you remember them?
Yeah.
Oh, they were nice.
God.
Echo bars, Dream bars, I like white chocolate, and then there's loads of Fat Frogs.
Yeah.
Remember them?
Yeah,
they're not doing them anymore.
No, they're
and
gone.
Freaky Foots
yeah they were good.
Hey, anything else gone, Eric, that you could even think of?
That are gone.
That's gone. That hasn't been out since.
Time bars. I like time bars.
Did you think Cadbury's are still doing them?
Time outs.
No, time outs. I know they're the wafery biscuits.
Yeah.
But time bars were like a really hard toffee covered in chocolate.
In a yellow wrapper with a picture of a clock on it.
Time
Macaroon.
Bars.
Cadbury's was the name of the chocolate company.
We're
the confectionery company.
Macaroons, are they the ones in the paper?
Yeah.
They're
lovely.
Shit, but good.
Yeah.
I couldn't understand why I liked them because they tasted like cheap shite.
Yeah.
But they were fucking class.
Addictive, yeah.
Kind of going,
why
the palate like was
that?
Real greasy when you ate them.
Like
a bleeding spice bag or something, wasn't
it? Yeah.
There's another thing, an Irish, what was that big box you were talking about?
Oh, a munch box.
With the two sausages, throw a macaroon bar in there as well. I mean, for your dessert.
Yeah.
Garen, come here. Time is flying by, but we, what's next for Garen now? What's your dream?
Jesus, we've kind of surpassed it. Like, it's sound. Like, I just dolly about the house making TikToks.
Do you have to pinch yourself still and go, this is amazing, what a way to make a living?
Yeah, it's mad. I'm very lucky. Like, you know, so, like, I do the TikToks, I do the podcast, I do the live shows, and, you know, I'm lucky enough to make a decent living doing that, and that's more than I could have asked for, you know. Like, less than a year ago, I was teaching, I was doing, you know, pub gigs, which anybody who's done pub gigs knows. Some of them are all right, but a lot of them are fucking brutal. And, you know, I was grinding and I was fucking broke. So, like, I'm thrilled.
So you're living the dream.
I'm kind of living the dream, to be honest, yeah.
And how are you adapting to Dublin? How are you finding Dublin, like?
Yeah, I like it. Yeah, I'm getting used to it. I haven't been on the Lewis yet. I'm afraid of it.
No doubt.
You're right either, boy.
Well, yeah. One day I kind of, the doors opened and I sort of peeked and I was like,
no,
because see now, Lord of the Rings.
I'm on the red line as well. So.
Oh Jesus!
Yeah, it looks like fairly business when it leaves, but by the time we get to like the second or third stop, it's fucking.
It's health.
Carnage.
Yeah. Every man for himself.
Yeah,
it really is. And like, obviously, you would get recognised, Garen. You know, especially like in a big city like Dublin, you must get recognised and stopped all the time. Is it a selfies thing all the time? People talk to you.
Yeah, fair, but it doesn't help that I'm like extraordinarily easy to see and very recognisable. Like, no human being looks even remotely like me, I feel like. Like, it's just.
You got that look.
Yeah, people know because, Jesus, it's a bit cold. And then I fucking appear. Hello, how are you getting on? Sorry. So yeah, I get a lot, but I'm very easy to see. So I think that probably makes
it. It doesn't bother you?
No, it doesn't bother. No. Just only people are really fucking annoying or stupid. Yeah. That's the only time. Like, so about 40% of the time, it's grand.
Yeah.
I like that.
Most people are sound, but there's the odd person. The only thing I don't like is sometimes people are like. Just like I'd be walking down and somebody would just go, fucking say I'm delicious.
Yeah.
And I'd be like, okay.
Yeah, no. I'm delicious. Yeah. You're forced.
Trying to buy a Sprite.
Yeah. I don't know if you're aware, you're in the presence of greatness here. I used to be in Fair City and I played an awful bollocks in the show and people would stop me sometimes and go, hey, oh, quick, do a threatening video to my wife.
Did you do
it? No, you're all right. I'll leave that to you.
Okay, I'd like to be a taxi man. Like last year, I was the only gig in the Laugh Lounge. I always remember this. And this taxi man, and he's doing, it's like that joke with Carl Spain or John Cleary. He turns around to me and goes, it's yourself, is it? And I'm going, yeah, it's definitely myself. He goes, oh, I'm on off air, Shinny Cole. I says, yeah. Oh, yeah, come here. Gets his phone out of his pocket. He's still driving here. My wife's name is Julie. She loves you. Threaten her. Go on, threaten her. So I have to hold the video up and go, how are you doing? Carl Spillane here. Your husband tells me you're a bit of a bitch. He also told me where you live. I'll be around to your gaff in a few minutes. You better get ready, sweetheart, because big time is coming. And then hang up.
Man, I wish I was known for that.
She was probably
that'd be so fucking fun.
Probably in the gaff fiddling with herself.
Playing the fiddle. She was into Irish. She was a trad musician. Garen Noon, it's been an absolute pleasure having you in on the podcast, and it's beautiful to watch your success grow and long may it continue. We're massive fans.
We are really massive fans.
And yeah, continued success to you.
Thank you very much for having me. It's been great crack. Hopefully I'll be back again sometime.
You will.
We'll go for that Chinese.
No, we will definitely. 100%. Garen, thanks so much. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you so much. Thanks a million.